Jackson Mayor Derek Dobie's post busy council session last night. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, Greg.
I didn't wake you up.
One, that's for sure.
I didn't wake you up.
No, I was trying to get off mute.
Yeah, busy meeting last night, but I guess the biggie would be a fairly hefty water increase for these lead water service line replacements. Huge issue, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a fairly big issue, as you said. We have consumers, one of our largest users has also dug their own well, which is going to be servicing some of their capacity and taking some of the capacity off of our utility. So that's obviously going to spread some of the costs to the rest of the ratepayers. But we are looking at, that's something that we just have to deal with. But some of the large portion of the costs are going to be reflective of some of the things that we've been talking about for a number of years now, in particular the lead service line replacement. Now, we've drove down a lot of that cost by going out and doing some studies of what the anticipated cost would look like with some real data coming back in the field, and staff has done a tremendous job in working to drive that cost down, but unfortunately, because it's a unfunded state mandate, we're going to have to figure out ways of paying for that over the course of the next few decades. And so there's going to have to be some increases. And in fact, between those two things, the rest of the increases largely are the cost of doing business. And everybody knows that the cost of doing business increases over a certain period. And we certainly anticipate the cost on the utility to go up over time as well, and that's what will be reflected in the new rate changes potentially.
Was the city blindsided by consumers digging their own well?
No, I don't think so. And as we talked about last night, consumers have to do what it can do itself to also drive down costs and perform for its ratepayers. So I think that is a given and something just that happens in the course of doing business. But I don't think that the residents should fret too much. One of the advantages that we have at the wastewater treatment plant as well as the water plant is that they were built, decades ago as regional operations. And in fact, we right now have large portions of Blackman, Summit Township that are part of our water utility and have started to, we put water up to the prison. So we've started to over time branch out into surrounding municipalities. And I think what you're going to see the city do over the next couple of years here is start to branch out to even further out, because we have such additional capacity at both the wastewater treatment plant and the water treatment plant to be able to bring in new municipalities. And the more ratepayers that we bring in, the more some of those capital costs are spread around and the cheaper it becomes for everybody.
What about this infrastructure package? I don't know if it's $2 or $4 billion or whatever it is. I know Biden's been saying some of that money should go into, he wants to replace all lead underground lines.
Yeah, well, that would be tremendous as well. If the federal government could, it would be great to see the federal government step in to fund some of the unfunded state mandates that, lay across the backs of local municipalities. But I think that there's going to be, we were happy to see the American Rescue Plan passed, and we're going to be putting some of those COVID relief funds to work, but that is not a long-term solution to keeping our the cost of our infrastructure operating and also refurbished. So over a long period of time, those are typically singular injections into the economy. So, and I think different from the American Rescue Plan, the jobs plan is going to have, and the transportation package or infrastructure package is going to have far way to go through Congress. So we'll see what comes of that. Obviously, additional revenue coming from the federal government will help us here in Jackson, putting that back into lead service line replacement, into repairing our roads and different things like that. But, you know, we have to do what we have to do to keep the utility operating, make sure that we can invest in necessary capital projects that will also reduce costs over time. And I think that's what you're seeing us doing through this rate analysis and also through some of the improvements that we're proposing to make at the wastewater treatment plant. Last night, I think you were alluding to, we passed a resolution applying for a loan from the state for about $6 million in improvements to the wastewater plant. So some big improvements hopefully coming to both our water plant and wastewater treatment operations to provide more better services to the residents over time, and hopefully we'll be able to attract some new fee payers into that.
Yeah, that was $4 trillion, not a paltry billion.
Yeah.
that was $4 trillion. Excuse me. Hold it.
Yep. When we usually at the local level, we deal in millions, the state's in billions, and the feds are in trillions.
So it's crazy.
Easy way to remember it.
So also some bridges getting repaired here. You approved a contract with MDOT.
Yeah, and this has been something that we've been working on over time and replacing our infrastructure. I think the roads were for Denton Road, the Trail Street overpass, and then North and Mechanic Street. So, you know, our just as our roads have aged, so have our bridges, and this is part of moving forward with the replacement of those bridges and working with MDOT. So we're excited to see those move forward, and hopefully we can address some of our other infrastructure, in particular our roads. And I think council, I know, wants to work on that. We've tried to put some pieces together before, as you said, as the we kind of see what happens with the federal government and their infrastructure package. We'll have to figure out what that looks like here locally too.
Yeah, and an assessment for residents of Morrell Street on the project there.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we typically do local assessments to help offset some of the costs of the project. It's a small portion of the cost of the project for those that are actually living along Morrell Street. Those that have driven between Greenwood and MLK Street on Morrell know how just absolutely terrible that is. And actually, as we were voting on that last night, I want to say I recalled, man, it must have been maybe a year ago, you asked me on this show, Greg, what my least favorite and most deplorable road I thought was in the city. And I think I named this very section.
Yeah,
because
it's bad.
I used to travel it every day, take my daughter to daycare. And it is it was terrible, but, you know, hopefully we'll have a fresh new asphalt there here shortly. And it really is starting to connect. You can kind of see it starting to connect the work that we've done on Greenwood North and on MLK at that roundabout northward going into downtown, and we're just going to continue that progress out into the neighborhoods.
Yeah, I know they had some work going on there, and you didn't even mind driving around it.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was good for your vehicle.
Yeah, if you weren't swerving on Morrell Street before, there was probably something wrong with you.
Yeah, how long is that project lasting, Derek?
It should be done in a construction cycle. So I know they're getting to work on it, and that should be it should be a fairly quick fix. So look forward to that. I think hopefully reopening later this year.
Then you you started your social district permitting, I guess, last night.
Yep, we made some changes, expanded the district last night to include more territory, included more public spaces. Basically, the whole area between kind of Mechanics or the downtown loop at the cutoff of I think Blackstone would be the downtown district, and that would allow people to with participating venues to be able to carry their beverage outside in those public spaces for certain hours, Monday or Friday, Saturday, Sunday, from I think it's noon, 12 noon to 12 a.m. During the week, and 9 to midnight on the weekends, and then there'll be some audibles by the city manager. He'll call, you know, special holidays where people will be able to participate in that activity on the day before, day of, day after holiday.
And the city has their second spring cleaning this Saturday.
Second spring cleaning this Saturday, yep, for those that are live in the city limits and have some yard waste or, you know, larger household debris, feel free to take that down to the DPW lot off of Water Street, and people down there will take care of you. If you missed it last weekend and you happen to live north of Michigan Ave, you know, we might look the other way and let you in. I think we've just been trying to manage capacity and not have the whole city show up on one day. But, you know, I think it's been a great opportunity for people to do a little bit of spring cleaning and have their city lean in to help out.
Yeah, and that is, I believe, 9 to 2?
That sounds right. Yep.
Okay. Anything else?
You know, last night we did move forward with a pretty hefty discussion around some reforms that we can take with respect to our rental registry, our non-owner-occupied residential property registry. So we are, I made a motion last night to extend that to from a two-year to a three-year cycle, give people a little bit more time to come into compliance, and also have that registry extend for a little bit longer period of time, and some other changes that I think are going to make it the program conducive to those that are doing the right thing. We got a lot of great landlords in town that take care of their properties. And with some of those reforms, give us a few more tools to get some of the other maybe bad actors to come into compliance to take care of their residents. And first and foremost, do what we can to improve the housing stock in the city and keep tenants safe.
So that's the goal of that program, to bring properties up to code?
Yeah, to bring properties up to the housing code, make sure that, you know, as tenants that are renters, don't necessarily know what the housing code is, don't necessarily know what a safe place is to live, and beyond that, don't may live in a particular unit, but don't know the conditions of the rest of the house and what's safe. You know, we've had to vacate houses that have been potentially deadly for tenants, whether it's, you know, electrical issues or
right,
issues with the furnace that are creating carbon monoxide challenges. So, you know, I think the intent of the NORPR and the inspection program is to ensure the safety of the tenants of those units, and also in doing so, you know, kind of bring some of those units up to the state standards through the housing code and improve, you know, that program over time, in addition to the vacant foreclosed vacant and abandoned property registry, has really been working in our neighborhoods to raise the quality of our housing stock. So I think it's been a kind of 1-2 punch with keeping people safe and improving our housing stock. And we made some changes to that. We proposed some changes to that last night that will be coming up at a future meeting for council to consider.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. Derek, thanks for the visit.
Thanks, Greg.